Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast. It's week 10. I'm Scott Pianowski, and it's time to handicap some football, give you a first look at what's coming at you in the week 10 slate. I hope the football games are better than last week. In fact, I'll guarantee that they will be. I'll be joined by my good friend and host of Yahoo Sportsbook Daily, Frank Schwab, in just a second. Before we get to Mr. Schwab, just want to remind you that all of the lines that we discussed today come courtesy of our friends at BetMGM. And they've got a great deal if you are a new user. You can create a BetMGM account, place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. If that bet loses, you get that bet amount up to $1,000 added back to your account in free bets. Must be 21 years of age or older in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, or Wyoming only. Terms do apply. Go to betmgm.com/yahoo to get started or use the promo code Yahoo when making your first deposit. Okay, with that house cleaning out of the way, let's say hello to handicapper to the stars, my good friend Frank Schwab. Aloha.
How you doing, Scott? I'm just hoping, of course, better games, yes. And maybe some semblance of like reasonable normalcy, because I just wrote power rankings, obviously, and I noted that of the top 11 teams on my power rankings last week, 7 of them lost and 1 had a bye. Like, what do you even make of this league anymore? It's like, if you could tell me a team I can trust going forward, I think that'd be gold, because who is even, you know, everybody's going to talk up the Tennessee Titans this week. Yeah, the Tennessee Titans lost to the Jets already this year, all right? Like, let's not act like anybody's without flaws. Cardinals, I guess, come the closest. Like, they're, I guess, the one bankable thing we have. But yeah, this league is just, it is insane. And thankfully, we're both underdog bettors, so we didn't get cleaned out last week. But I did get cleaned out my survival pools. I was like, I was trying to be smart, right? I'm like, oh, I'm going to split this up. I don't want to both tee. I have one on the Cowboys and one on the Bills. I'm good. I'll hit one of those. Like, you know, no, just done. Done for the year of survival. So
yeah, I was crazy. Out of the club too. Is it worse to lose in the... Oh, Buffalo's going to score this drive. Buffalo's going to wake up now, oh, right? Is it worse to lose that way or worse to lose the Dallas way, where it's like, okay, they didn't get off the bus today?
I'd rather have a team like Dallas down 30-0 and just, you're just like, okay, whatever. Because Buffalo was so, like you said, I did that all afternoon. I was like, all right, Buffalo forced a punt. This is the drive they score and take the lead. Oh, no, this is the drive. This is the, and I just, they couldn't move the ball. It was one of the most insane games. At the end of the day, it's like, fine, I lost on a 14.5 point favorite. Like, what are you going to do? Like, you can't, there's nothing you can do. But that's what happens every year in these pools, because the NFL's crazy.
Yeah, that's the dirty secret of Survivor. It's just if you don't win your Survivor pool, it's just a chance to feel lousy on some random NFL Sunday. Really, because, you know, you look back and say, okay, what was the upset of the season? I mean, look, the Jacksonville-Buffalo game, we always talk about the NFL with unpredictable outcomes, but there's an excellent chance that will go down as the upset of the season. Mm-hmm. So that's what you get. You leave with a story, right? You leave with your bad beat story that, you know, one day Josh Allen Jacksonville was dominant of Josh Allen Buffalo. Let me ask you this. With Buffalo struggling, the Chiefs have been, you know, a terrible bet for a year now, and their offense is in a funk. Cover two was the hot defense in the NFL, I don't know, a decade ago. I mean, mm-hmm. It was a while ago when it was the hot defense, and it kind of went away. And now we're seeing a lot of these two deep shells are coming back. It's making offenses look sluggish, look impatient. I mean, there's a lot of things. Look, there's a lot of moving parts here. Buffalo's offensive line was terrible in the Jacksonville game. Kansas City has all sorts of problems right now. But what do you make of this trend of the two deep shells taking away offense? Where do you think this is headed in the short term?
Yeah, I think that you're going to see a lot more of it, because, you know, there's a great play that illustrated it in a Packers Chiefs game. And I think it was that an Aikman game? Whoever was doing the game, they pointed this out, and I saw it on Twitter later, where Mahomes just tries forcing one deep to, I think it was Mecole Hardman, where Travis Kelce is 15 yards downfield and wide open. Like, couldn't be more wide open, but you could sense that Mahomes was just like impatient, like you just said. Like, I need to take a shot here. I need to try to hit a big play. And it was incomplete, and he missed out on a chunk play to Kelce for probably 20, 25 yards. Mm-hmm. And that, yes, I think that it forces teams to be impatient. As long as you have the pass rush to do it, because if you're going to play cover two, your pass rush got to take care of things. Offense is going to pick you apart if the pass rush doesn't get home. So you need the pass rush. You need to have a decent pass rush to run that consistently. But I think it's something that, like you said, it does. It makes quarterbacks impatient. It makes offenses impatient. They're not used to – Patrick Mahomes is not used to being a check down guy. Like, and he's just never going to be. So, yeah, I can see a lot more of that happening. Just, we ain't giving you the deep stuff. if you want to have a perfect drive and go, you know, 9 plays, 90 yards, okay, we'll live with that. But you're not going to just get us, you know, Travis or Tyreek Hill over the top for 80 yards.
Another way to make a team penalized for playing defense like that is to run them out of it. Buffalo's running game looks terrible. Kansas City's running game looks terrible. You know, I think I'm done with Zach Moss forever. I know he was hurt in the Jacksonville games. I don't mean to pick on him, but Singletary's had a poor season. Moss has had a poor season. CEH has been a disappointment pretty much from the moment the Chiefs drafted him. Not maybe a colossal bust, but not a first-round value out of it. I mean, you think of what the Chiefs offense could be if maybe they drafted, I don't know. I mean, a draft is hard for everybody. I get it. But what if, say, DK Metcalf was the pick instead of Mecole Hardman or, you know, I don't know, Terry McLaurin, somebody like that? What if they'd taken DeAndre Swift instead of CEH? Would things be different? But
they could have drafted Jonathan Taylor over CEH, right? Same draft?
I believe so, yeah.
How would that look right now?
Yeah, and you mentioned Taylor. I mean, you talked about the Kansas City not taking the easy, shorter pass. It was a week ago we were railing about why didn't Carson Wentz throw it to Jonathan Taylor, who was all by him lonesome in overtime against the Titans. Steady threw into coverage, threw an interception. Tennessee, you know, I guess they're the team of destiny. I think Tennessee's a good team. I don't think they're a great team by any means.
I don't either.
Well coached. You know, Vrabel, I would think, is probably at the top of the coach of the year ranking right now. Although maybe I have to reevaluate Kingsbury. I mean, he had Colt McCoy ready to go.
At some point, we just had to give up like this notion of Cliff Kingsbury is not a good coach, because what has he done this year? It's been good. Like he's pushing all the right buttons. They're playing well. Like you said, last week was impressive. You go into that game, no Kyler, no DeAndre Hopkins, and you lose Chase Edmonds in the first quarter, and you figure out a way to win that game by 14. Okay. But at some point, we just have to tip our caps to Cliff Kingsbury, I guess. That just kind of shows how weird this whole season is.
We'll give a quick nod to the news of the week. We will not talk about the Bears, the Bengals, the Texans, and the Chiefs. The Bears, the Bengals, the Texans, and the Giants. We will talk about the Chiefs. Won't talk about the Giants. They're your Week 10 bye teams. Odell Beckham Jr., as we go to print Tuesday afternoon, has cleared waivers. Seattle's been mentioned as a destination. Green Bay, I mean, if they like, they need receivers, right? And they certainly don't want to draft them. A couple of teams that have floated. Do you have a inkling of where we think Beckham may go, and do you think he'll splash at all in the second half of the season?
I think he ends up going to Seattle. I think he should go to Green Bay, and I think Green Bay should sign him. But Green Bay, like you kind of just joked about, like Green Bay just has this aversion to adding receivers. I don't get it. I can't explain it. I don't know why. Maybe they just think Alan Lazard is, you know, Lynn Swan 1975 or something. But I don't know why they won't do that, because it just makes perfect sense. I do think he ends up in Seattle, because Seattle's always that kind of aggressive team. And then he's going to go to Seattle, and Pete Carroll's going to run the ball 40 times a game, and Russell's going to throw 18 times, and OBJ's going to be upset that he's getting two targets a game. So you can just see this all unfolding. No, I don't think OBJ's going to be an impact guy wherever he goes. I think, as producer Brett and I were talking about right before we started taping, his best career path right now might be Antonio Brown, where you just end up as one of the guys in a really good receiving room. You still end up putting up some good stats. You end up on a really good team, maybe win a Super Bowl, maybe rehabilitate your career a little bit. But I don't know that OBJ can necessarily just swallow that. I don't know that he can go. He seems to me like, and I might be totally wrong, but he seems to me like the kind of guy who would sign in Green Bay and say, wow, I can't believe Devontae Adams is the number two now. That's crazy. Like, I can't, you know, Devontae's a great number two for me. You know, I just don't think he can humble himself to the point of like, I'm going to be the number three in Seattle. But I think that's going to end up being the best fit for him.
Yeah, you make a great point with Brown. I mean, he's really subjugated his ego in Tampa Bay. He's been, by all accounts that I've gotten, a model citizen. Mm-hmm. You haven't heard any peeps from him on a team where he's not. He's the third receiver. He does not play in the base package. You know, he's somebody who plays 60, 70% of the snaps, as opposed to Godwin and Evans don't come off the field. And even when Gronkowski was healthy, I mean, he was getting more goal line love than Antonio Brown. And you know, I guess that partially speaks to his relationship with Brady. And I think Brown heard his biological clock ticking in a way that Beckham has not demonstrated yet. You know, he has not realized, okay, I'm in a different phase of my career now. I'm not the cover boy for Madden. I'm not the cover boy for the league anymore. You know, I'm not one of the five signature players in the league. I'm just another player with some talent who has to accept that I can't do everything I used to be able to do.
Yeah, and I think the best thing for him would be 1 year deal with a championship contender. You go, you have a good playoffs, maybe you win a championship, then you hit free agency again. And everybody kind of says, oh, it was Baker Mayfield's fault. We'll give you a 4-year deal. Like, I don't know that necessarily would happen, but I think that would be his best path back to being OBJ.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield. I don't know what it is about all the quarterbacks who are insurance pitchmen. It's been a really bad couple of weeks for those guys. You mentioned the Browns. We should also duck in a note about their backfield. Nick Chubb coming off a monster game against the Bengals. He's shown up on the COVID list along with fellow running backs Demetric Felton and John Kelly. It's not clear if they'll be available for their showdown against New England on Sunday. Right now, they have one healthy running back. It's D'Ernest Johnson. So we'll have to keep close tabs on that. Again, we're not going to have clarity about this during this podcast, but it's something that we'll know between now and game day. And that's one of my favorite games of the slate. We'll get to it in a minute. Let's get to the island games. I know you're dying to talk Ravens and Dolphins. That's our Thursday night game. Miami is home at BetMGM. They're catching 7.5 points, and the total is 46. You know, Baltimore, they didn't really look sharp early in that game against Minnesota, but you know Minnesota, man, they've had a 7-point lead in every game, and they somehow find a way to lose in the most bizarre ways. I don't know a fan base that loathes themselves as much as Viking fans do, right. But Lamar Jackson, talk about a perfect MVP movement day for him. He plays great on a day where every other good quarterback either played like dirt or didn't play. So he hurtled over a bunch of guys. And I think he's about 10-1, 12-1, something like that. You could have gotten him in the 20s before last week. He's playing at a really high level. You going to lay the wood on the road with the Ravens, or are you going to hold your nose and maybe talk yourself into the Dolphins?
I can't take the Dolphins. I just can't. Even in last week's game, I mean, they turned the ball over 5 times. Jacoby Brissett is Jacoby Brissett. Yeah, I mean, Miles Gaskin has 34 yards on 20 carries. They were just lucky they were playing the Texans. The Texans are inept. They're a bad, bad, bad NFL football team. I don't love the idea of the Ravens -7.5 just because the Ravens have basically been the Vikings, except luckier in their outcomes. Every game is close. Every game comes down to the end. They just end up winning more than they lose, probably because they have a really, really good football coach, and they have a really, really good quarterback. That matters in these close games. But I don't know that I'm going to have many pennies on this one, I can tell you that. But if I do, it's probably going to be on the Ravens. Perfect teaser. Perfect teaser. If you want a teasing, I can't imagine – I shouldn't say that because of what happened last week, but I can't imagine the Ravens losing outright. But in this crazy league, who knows? But I still would feel pretty good with them as one of my teaser games in this week.
I think they need to find a way to get away from – as great as Jackson's been, and he's working towards maybe a 5,000-yard passing season with 1,000 rushing yards, he had 21 carries last week. That's way too many. That is not a sustainable business model. I don't want my quarterback getting hit anywhere near as much as he's getting hit. And we know we've made jokes about their legacy backfield, right? You know, the 2000 – I mean, Le'Veon Bell is wearing number 17 to remind you that his last impactful season in the NFL was 2017. Devonta Freeman, I'm actually tempted to put fab offers in for him this week, which I never thought I'd say. I mean, look at the NFL, right? Look at the guys we're bidding on in fantasy, right? Adrian Peterson, Devonta Freeman, Le'Veon Bell. It's a tough time to try to find running back production, but – I'm not going to bet on this game either. I lean towards the Ravens. I'm not somebody who likes giving points on the road, but you know, it's funny. We talked last week about maybe using Miami and Survivor, and had I done that, I would have advanced as opposed to having Dallas. But you know what though? Miami turned the ball over 5 times. They had no right winning that game. And the only reason they won it is because they basically threw the game to Houston. Houston said, well, we don't want it. You can have it. I mean, neither team played well. That game would have killed me. I'm almost glad I just took Dallas, and I'm, you know, elimination pools are eliminated from my life for the rest of the season. Absolutely. Not a great game to bet on. Not a good, you know, whatever. It's the NFL. Maybe there's a prop that will pop up or something. I'll look at that stuff. And if I see anything I like, maybe I'll tweet about it. But I lean Ravens, not with any conviction. Perhaps we can have some conviction on the Chiefs and the Raiders. They're our Sunday night game. The game is in Las Vegas. Raiders are 2.5-point underdogs. The total is 52.5. It's no fun to talk about the Raiders this season with all the turmoil that's been there with the Gruden situation, the awful Henry Ruggs story. You know, we're human beings. I don't know how the Raiders could have been focused for that Giants game. And it just feels awkward to even talk about them as a football team right now with all the stuff that's swirling around them. That said, the Chiefs have been a horrible bet for a year. They need, again, I'm in a zone defense and I'm daring them to make some threes and they're not making them. So I'm going to stick in my zone and just stubbornly and reflexively take the Raiders until the Chiefs shoot me out of it.
This line confused me. It really did, because my first instinct, and I think we just got to, like you kind of alluded to, we just got to get ourselves out of this habit. My first instinct was, oh, Chiefs less than a field goal. Okay, let's go. And then you start thinking about it, and it's like, when's the last time I really felt good about betting on the Chiefs? And I know I cashed once on them against Philly earlier this year, but mostly I just, what if the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes had 166 yards on 37 attempts last week. like, what is going on with that team? I wonder if age has caught up to Travis Kelce. He doesn't look like the same guy. Tyreek's still great, but he hasn't had one of those explosion games in a while. Nothing else around him, if you've talked about many, many times, accurately so. So, but then I look at the Raiders side, and I do wonder at what point emotionally you just break. You've been dealing with so much stuff, Damon Arnette this week. And, you know, we talked about the 1 week kind of bump they got from Gruden resigning, and I thought they got that. And we were on, you know, the Raiders against the Broncos in that game. But at the same time, it's like that you can't maintain that all season. You can't. And I just wonder if this team's kind of broken emotionally. And I think to the point of, I think the odds makers have kind of taken away the Chiefs tax now. I really do. I think that, you know, if this game was played 5 weeks ago, the Chiefs would have been what, -6.5. Like it would have been a much bigger spread. But I think they've realized the Chiefs aren't good. We need to move our power rankings down. People are starting to bet against the Chiefs and win money off of us. So I think this spread's actually fair. And my first inclination is lean Chiefs. And I'm going to try to talk myself out of it all week because they have been such a bad bet. And I do trust the Raiders. I do think the Raiders are a good team. I just wonder if the Raiders emotionally are just kind of spent. And it's only, you know, it's only week 10 we're talking about. But they've been through more of this season than most teams deal with in 4 or 5 seasons.
As narrative-driven, you know, this is a trip down narrative street. But I wonder if they get any boost from having a primetime home game, if that can somehow offset some of that.
It very well could be. We see that all the time. I don't know. I'll say this, if the spread goes over 3.5, if the public gets back on the Chiefs and says, oh, like I'm talking about right now, and it gets to like 3.5, I'd probably be on the Raiders at that point. That's how not much confidence I have in this game that, you know, just going above that key number could swing my vote there.
So we've talked many weeks, and I just mentioned it a second ago, about the Chiefs for a year have been a bad bet. That bubble has burst. One bubble that's burst that I have not been in on. Okay, the 49ers have lost 8 straight home games. I just wish I had accepted. I feel like I was on them in just about every one of those weeks. I certainly thought they were going to beat Arizona last week. They did nothing close to that. They're at home on Monday night, welcoming the Rams, another home underdog. All 3 of the Island games have home underdogs. The Niners are catching 4 in this game. The total's 49.5. Neither team coated itself in glory last week. The Rams played about as poorly as they could play, especially Matthew Stafford losing to the Titans. And, of course, the Niners did very – you know, it's funny. They moved the ball. I mean, Kittle came back. He had his best fantasy game in a year. Debo was Debo. They're finally getting Ayuk kind of unplugged, but they left points on the board. They missed field goals. Ayuk had a really critical fumble. Man, I don't like this game because my first inclination is I got to take the points, right? But it's like, well, the Niners, they have no home field advantage. I guess nobody can get that stadium, I guess. The place is dead. They expect to lose when they fall behind in the first quarter. Maybe if you just ignore that one glorious season of Shanahan, maybe we just have to accept that he's been overrated as a head coach his entire tenure here. I'm struggling with this game, Frank. Give me some clarity.
Probably Rams here because, you know, I wrote about this in Power Rankings. I wrote basically that the Rams are our team that kind of just beats up on bad teams. The Buccaneers win was great. That's the quality one win. But as you kind of talked about with Charles on Sunday night, like if we're the NCAA selection committee, the quadrant 2, quadrant 3, quadrant 4 wins. That's where the Rams are more in quadrant 3, quadrant 4, beating the Texans and, you know, beating the Lions. And it's, but that's the thing. The 49ers are a bad football team. Like that's, we have to accept that right now. It took me a long time to accept that. I was on them last week because, you know, I anticipated Murray being out just from what they were saying. I anticipated DeAndre Hopkins probably wasn't going to answer the bell. They sat Murray. So I was like, you know, when those guys were ruled out, I was sitting there. I think I had a +1. I felt great about San Francisco. And they just got trucked. They looked terrible in that game. And it's just like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm fine. I'm done. I can't sit here and keep acting like Kyle Shanahan's a great coach. I can't sit here and act like that this team is going to come to life because they're just not. They're not a good football team. So the fact that the Rams are coming off an embarrassing loss on Sunday night at home, they get to play a bad football team. That leads me to the Rams. I don't love laying 4. But I think that they're just going to come out and be a little more focused coming off that loss. They get to play a bad football team where they spank bad football teams. And I'll take the Rams. And I honestly feel fairly good about it.
It does speak to my theory of when a team with strong infrastructure is embarrassed, especially in a public game, especially in a standalone game. I love to back that team the next week. And so I would think that the Rams play a much cleaner game this week. And man, it's hard for me to buy anything that Shanahan is selling right now.
Real quick, before we move on to the next game, and I do ask this selfishly because I still have him stashed everywhere. At what point do the Niners just say, Trey Lance, let's go? We got nothing going on. We are a total flat line. Jimmy hasn't played bad, so I don't know that it's justified to bench him. But at what point do the 49ers just say, whatever, let the kid play. Let's see if we can get a spark.
Because the bar to make the playoffs in the NFC is so low at the number seven seed. I mean, Atlanta at 4-4, I believe, is the current number seven seed in the NFC. The Niners have 3 wins. Garoppolo's coming off a back-to-back 300-yard games. He averaged, I think, 11 yards an attempt at Chicago. He was over 8, I want to say, in the Arizona game. I mean, they moved the ball.
Yeah, he wasn't really the problem, yeah.
Yeah, so I think they're going to – the idea would probably be, well, we can fix this with Garoppolo. You know, we should be a 4-5 win team. Maybe they can tell themselves that. A little bit of flukiness in the loss to the Colts. It was a terrible monsoon that day. I think the Niners maybe can kid themselves – now, it speaks to what should your goal be? Should your goal be the short term, try to eke into the playoffs, maybe win a game? I mean, nobody thinks this is a Super Bowl team. Or should the goal be the long term? Okay, well, Trey Lance is our future. He's, you know, we hope our quarterback for the next 10 years. Now that he's been in the building and he knows a little bit about the NFL, let's get him in there and let him actually learn. Because, you know, ultimately, your development is going to come from playing. It's not going to come from watching Jimmy Garoppolo. And it's really an interesting talk. I don't know what you make of the whispers that, maybe Shanahan didn't want, maybe he wanted Mac Jones. Maybe he was talked into Trey Lance. It's hard to know who's covering, who's behind on that and everything and what's really true. And what do you make of all that story?
I believe that if that's true, we're going to see some stories leaked in the offseason or pretty soon. Like, hey, this wasn't my guy. I wanted Mac Jones, who is probably second in the odds of rookie of the year right now. So it's an interesting theory, and it makes sense. Because I was on the whole, you know, once it was reported that they like Mac Jones, and you put the dots together on who was reporting that and possibly who he knows, you kind of say, well, that's probably coming from Shanahan. And now it makes sense to think that somebody, you know, they kind of talked him out of Mac Jones at 3, and they end up taking Trey Lance, and now he's kind of being a little passive aggressive, saying, I'm not going to play the kid unless I have to. I don't know. It's a fun conspiracy theory, isn't it? I don't know if it's true or not, but it's at least feasible, right?
Well, speaking of conspiracy theories, let's transition to the Sunday games. The Seahawks and the Packers. I mean, we could talk for 3 hours about these teams off the field, but I think Russell Wilson will play. I think Aaron Rodgers will play. I can't say either of those things with 100% conviction. The Packers are 4-point favorites on Sunday. It's a 49.5 over under. What was your lean, Seattle, Green Bay?
And I'll just go ahead and assume both quarterbacks play. Obviously, if news breaks on Thursday that Aaron Rodgers is going to play, things change. I love the Packers in this game because we're gonna kind of fall for the trap of, oh, Russell Wilson's back. He's going to save the Seahawks. There's a couple things here. We don't know what Russell Wilson's going to look like throwing the ball. He had finger surgery. Like, I know he's incredible healing powers and he's back and he's been cleared and all this stuff. Does that mean he's 100% right now? Does that mean he's ready to go play in an NFL game and throw the ball 30 times? We don't know. It's possible he's not. If he is, great. I'd love to see it. My fantasy teams, many of them would love to see it. But I don't know that he's going to be there yet. He did rush back from this thing. I think we have to admit that. Also, the Seahawks weren't great with Russell Wilson to start the season. They were kind of a mediocre, not really doing much for us. We kind of forget that. We just think that, oh, they stink because Geno took over. Not really. Like, they were bad before that. The defense wasn't great. They still have a lot of questions at running back. You know, they could pull stuff out of their hats because Russell Wilson, maybe that just, they just pick up where they left off it and Russ can save them and whatever. But this Packers seems really good. I thought they competed hard last week without Aaron Rodgers. They probably should have won that game. I think they'd probably blow out the Chiefs if Aaron Rodgers plays, right? I mean, if you just say, okay, put Aaron Rodgers on the field against the Chiefs in that game, how many points do the Packers score? It's probably about 30, right? I think that they win that game fairly easily. I think the Packers are a good team. I assume Rodgers is going to play. I assume he's going to be ready. I mean, he's just a guy who, he's a vet. He's 38 years old. He knows he doesn't need a week of practice, really. I think they go out there and I think they handle the Seahawks. I really do. I think that I look forward to Russ playing. I hope he's 100%. But this is also a little bit of a hedge against that, right? Like if Russell Wilson is misfiring early on, the Seahawks are going to get blown out. Like that just, they're not going to be able to hang in this game if Russ is less than 100% and still rusty. So it's a little bit of a bet on that. And even if Russ is 100%, I still think the Packers win this game because they're a better team.
Yeah, there's a certain confidence and swagger to the Packers. And they go to Arizona. They take down the Cardinals when they were undefeated. And then they did. I totally agree that if Rodgers had played last week, the Packers defense, I thought, played very well. Of course, Kansas City's offense has problems. But Jordan Love was so mediocre in that game. That's why they lost. I mean, Jordan Love, to me, I was making the joke that he looked like a tight end who was like, oh, did you play quarterback in high school? Yeah, we need an emergency quarterback today. Can you try to do it? Sure, I'll give it a shot. I mean, he just didn't look like he looked like he was not at all prepared for blitzes. Had no, I saw no cohesion between him and his teammates. It was really hard to watch.
Yeah, especially Devontae. He could not, like, I think it was 13 targets, like five catches for 40 some yards, whatever Devontae's line ended up. It was like, if you can't get the ball to Devontae Adams, I don't know. Like, yeah, the whole time I was like, I didn't think Jordan Love was bad. I had to write the story after the game, and I'm sitting there, so I'm watching, I'm trying to analyze it, and I'm kind of like, I don't know. He's not good. He's not bad. He's just kind of there, and they're not scoring any points. And if you're the Packers, you're not exactly going to the next offseason saying, well, we got our answer. Jordan Love's fine. You're like, ooh, is this what we're getting? Because he just was middle of the road, kind of, eh, whatever.
I thought he was bad. I would actually say he was bad. Let's transition to another game. Bill Belichick, we know he loves to beat the Jets when he has a chance to. He's already done that twice. Now he gets to take out his aggressions on his former employers, the Cleveland Browns. Patriots are the home team, and they're spotting 1.5 over at BetMGM. Total's 45. Yeah, I look at these two teams. I think they're very efficient, and they generally don't beat themselves. But, man, they're really, really boring. I mean, the Browns, they don't want Baker Mayfield throwing a lot of passes. The Patriots have pretty much kept Mac Jones on a short leash. He's been fine. I don't think he's been great by any means, but because so many other rookie quarterbacks have thrown up all over themselves for the most part. I mean, you know, Justin Fields was good on Monday night. We'll say that. But it's been a bad year for the rookie class. Mac Jones stands out because he's been okay. But New England, you know, Belichick will tell you, games are lost far more often than they've won. And this is a Patriot team that says, okay, yeah, we'll wait for you to give us the game, which Sam Darnold was happy to do, which 2 weeks ago Justin Herbert was happy to do. I thought this line would have been more towards the standard 2.5 or 3 points, so it came in a little bit low. My early inclination is Patriots. What say you?
I kind of like the Browns. I'm going to go ahead and assume Chubb plays because from the news I saw, he is vaccinated, so all he needs is negative tests basically by Sunday. That doesn't mean health-wise he's going to be ready. I just kind of assume – like, this is a game I'm going to bet later in the week, right? So as long as it looks like Chubb's trending to play, I think I'm going to take the Browns. I was really impressed with them on Sunday. And again, this is a week-to-week league. Like, whatever we saw on Sunday probably doesn't carry over. But they look really good. And I do think, as dumb as this sounds, it just doesn't sound logical to say it out loud. But I truly believe it. I think Donovan Peoples-Jones is a better receiver right now than Odell Beckham. At least for that team. Donovan Peoples-Jones has played better every time I've seen him this year than Odell has. I think Odell just screws up that offense. It doesn't make any sense coming out of my mouth, but this is what I see on Sundays. I see the Browns just bogged down every time Odell plays. They can't get him the ball. As Charles pointed out, the theory that he's just out there freelancing, so he screws up the offense. I buy that. I think that something was amiss with Odell Beckham, and I think they kind of are free. Like, I think that they just feel like, okay, he's gone. We don't got to worry about him anymore. Let's get the ball to Jarvis. Let's get the ball down to the people's shows. Let's run the heck out of the ball, which we're really, really good at. So I think that they're actually a better team without him, as weird as it sounds, because he's still a talented dude. But I like the Browns in the spot. I really do. I think they can go in there and win. I think they're going to cause some problems with their front for Mac Jones. Do I worry about Bill Belichick getting in Baker Mayfield's head 4-6? I do. I absolutely do. But the way the Browns played last week, I'm willing to back them another week and say, you know, maybe there's a team that is going to get hot and kind of live up to what we thought they'd be in the preseason.
It's another game where total's 45. I love first half. I don't know what the first half total is. I would think it's probably 20, 21, something like that. We know the Browns don't want Baker Mayfield throwing 40 passes. We know certainly the Patriots don't want Mac Jones to air it out. I like the first quarter or first half under with both teams coming in conservative. Totally agree with the idea that Mayfield and the Browns offense is better without Beckham. Because once with Beckham not willing to accept his limitations now in the phase of his career, we talked about this earlier, it becomes a problem where he expects a certain amount of targets. He expects a certain amount of leeway, a certain amount to, you know, just, okay, run whatever route you want, you know, stuff like that. Baker played well when previous seasons when he was hurt. You know, Mayfield had better performances when Beckham wasn't on the field. That's a common thread here. So I agree with that story, but with the Patriots just kind of rounding into shape, what is coaching in the NFL, right? It is figuring out what you have and getting better as the season goes along. And it's just been so many years where the Patriots don't look like much early in the year. And then middle of the season, it's like, oh, wow, you know, this team's kind of putting it together right now. I buy into that narrative. I like the fact that if you take the Patriots minus 1.5, you're basically taking them on the money line. I mean, you just ask them to win the game. So I'm going to lean New England. Mm-hmm. I'm not pounding the table for them. They won't be my conviction pick at the end of this show. But for the moment, we disagree on this one. Of course, we have to kind of see what happens with the Chubb story. That would be a big – not that Johnson was bad a couple of weeks ago against Denver. Right. But
Chubb might be the best running back in the NFL with Derrick Henry out. Just straight running. I'm not talking about Christian McCaffrey versatility, but it's probably either Jonathan Taylor or Nick Chubb at this point, is just as far as a pure runner.
Yeah, I love watching both those guys. I still think both teams could use them a little bit more too. Okay, so Tennessee Titans, hottest team in football. They're beating everybody. Buffalo, Kansas City, they took the Rams down. They took the Colts down in overtime. Couldn't beat the Jets, but, you know, a heck of a football team. Why are they only spotting 3 points at home to the Saints? I know the Saints are a good team. They didn't really play well last week. They made a nice comeback and briefly were ahead of Atlanta before losing in the end. But Trevor Siemian, week to week, he had some moments late in that game. I don't trust him long term. I'm kind of surprised that Taysom Hill wasn't the starter. And I wonder at what point is Taysom Hill going to get a shot here? Again, the Titans are spotting 3 points at home. If you bet at BetMGM, the total is 45. This is like, what's going on here? Because my first thought is I have to take the Titans. How can I not take the Titans? Talk me out of it.
Now, I probably won't. I'll probably be on the same side, but let me give this is why the line is -3, I guess. The Saints play really good defense. They are. I know they didn't play great last week against the Falcons, but overall, this is a pretty good defensive team. And the Titans, when we really dissect what they did against the Rams, and I know you can't just say, well, take out the two pick sixes, because those did happen. They were huge plays. But if you do take out the two pick sixes, they didn't move the ball. I mean, they weren't really going up and down the field on the Rams. They just kind of got two gift touchdowns and kind of rolled that to a win. From play to play, I wasn't really impressed with the Titans. They made the two big, huge plays. They got a great win, all that kind of stuff. That's all true. Jeffrey Simmons played out of his mind. The defense was really good. But I didn't think play to play the Titans were dominant in that game. They just swung the game when Matthew Stafford lost his mind for a minute. And so, but at the end of the day, I still am probably going to be on the Titans. And I will say this. It all depends on the quarterback for me, because I think it's a huge mistake for them to start Trevor Siemian. Maybe it's just because I'm based in Denver and I've heard all the negative stuff about Trevor Siemian from years ago. But I think he's just a limited quarterback. And of all people, I didn't think Sean Payton would be falling for quarterback wins. Right? Like that, they beat the Bucs. And I was like, okay, you stole that win against the Bucs. So their backup quarterback, he played fine. He made some plays. But now you get Taysom healthy, you play him. And by the way, so it's like, if it was a Taysom health issue, he shouldn't have been playing at all. Like, either he's healthy or he's not. Like, if he's healthy enough to be on the field, active, throw two passes, he should be your starting quarterback in my mind. It shouldn't have been a health issue there. So I think with Taysom, I think the Saints are a better team because, yeah, it's unconventional, but I think they bring more to the table. I just think Trevor's just, he rallied them at the end, but going into that fourth quarter, I think they had 3 points and they just looked terrible on offense. He couldn't hit anything. And I just think that's kind of who he is. They don't have enough weapons around him to boost him up. You need a little more juice out of your quarterback position, and Taysom could give you that. Just his running ability, dual threat, he could really throw a defense off. So if Taysom starts in this game, I won't be on the Titans. I'll say that. If Siemian starts, I'll be on the Titans. I just think they're a better team. And I think the Saints are really going to be kind of limited until Sean Payton gets, I don't know what's going on. Sean Payton loved Trevor Taysom Hill. All these years, he would go in the weirdest spots, replacing one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Even when Alvin Kamara had 6 touchdowns, Sean Payton couldn't get Kamara 7 because he had to get Taysom Hill a touchdown at the end. Like, yeah, he can't get Alvin Kamara a 7th touchdown, set some NFL records here. No, you have to get Taysom one. And now when it comes time to, okay, the rest of our season, we need a new quarterback. He's like, I'm going to go Trevor Siemian. I don't get what's going on. I don't get why he made that decision.
Yeah, I almost wonder if just Peyton likes being a contrarian sometimes for the sake of being a contrarian. I mean, for the longest time, the hill he was going to die on was Taysom Hill. And we made all the jokes and why are you rushing a Hall of Famer off the field? But Hill was a better passer than I wanted to give him credit for. And he played a lot better as a starter last year than I expected. I'll admit I got that wrong.
That's the thing. He played well as a starter last year. It's not like you're like, well, we don't know what we're getting out of Taysom. You kind of do. He played pretty well 4 games last year.
Yeah, my prediction is that Siemian starts this game, throws the ball over himself, and Taysom Hill is the starter going forward.
I can see.
And Andy Behrens, my fantasy colleague, when we did the pickups a day ago, he was sharing some of your Trey Lance optimism, and I said that I would apply that optimism to Taysom Hill. If I were in a league, a super flex league, a deeper format, I think Taysom Hill's the quarterback who right now maybe doesn't hold value, but is going to hold a lot of value in the second half of the year or the final third of the season. He's somebody I'd be looking to stash right now if I could. In the meantime, give me the Titans. And you're right. Look, I don't even think they had 200 yards of offense in the Rams game, but part of that was game flow. They could just unplug the offense and say, okay, we've got a big lead. Let's just not blow it. Our defense is playing really – the defense, they've really fixed it. It looked horrible about like 4 or 5 weeks ago. This defense is a interesting unit now. So I want you to give a hug or send an email or some chocolates or some flowers to the Vikings fans in your orbit because, man – what a tough go. This team, they compete every week. They have a lead every week. They find a way to lose a one-score game more often than not. But now they're at the Chargers, and they've kind of got a checkered history with that too. You know, I mean, one of these teams is going to find a way to lose in a macabre fashion. I'm not sure who it will be. Chargers, as we know, don't have much of a home field advantage. They're the home team here. They're spotting 2.5 over at BetMGM. A juicy total of 52.5. I'm just starting to wonder, is Kirk Cousins just good enough to lose with? I mean, he's constantly throwing behind the sticks on third down. You would think the pieces here should be good enough. I know they don't have the greatest depth on offense, but Jefferson's generational talent. Cook's about as good of a running back as the league has. Adam Thielen's still plenty productive as far as I can tell. I know he didn't have a great game in Baltimore, but he's a pretty good number two. I don't know why it doesn't add up with the Vikings. Maybe it's just, you know, Zimmer's time has come and gone. He has fixed the defense this year. I'll say that. You didn't see it last week, but Minnesota's defense has been good. The thing with me, Frank, and we've talked about this a lot in this show, I believe in the Chargers. I believe in what they're selling. I believe in how they play defense. Go ahead and run on us. We're going to play pass defense. I like Herbert. It was really good to see him get his mojo back last week. I know Philadelphia's pass defense is a joke right now, but I sleep better at night knowing that Justin Herbert just had a really good football game and secured a win. I think the Chargers still have the upside of a playoff team as a team that could maybe even win the AFC if they got a couple of breaks. Minnesota, to me, I think they'll have a coaching search going on in January. So I'm going to be on the Chargers here.
I hate it because I sat here on Sunday on the NFL pod with Charles and said, I just got to quit the Chargers because last Sunday they got the win. They got the money, all that. That ended up being one of my three biggest plays of the week. And I was very happy to see Chargers win, but it wasn't good. It wasn't like, it was like, you know what, Chargers, if you're really a contender, like if you're that team, you go into Philadelphia and you pound them, and you're not needing a last second field goal and having to go for it on 4th and 1 with 1.5 minutes to go. I just came out of that game feeling so like the Chargers, they're just maybe not the team I thought they were. I don't know. Maybe I'm overreacting. They did get the win. Maybe I expect too much out of that. But I wonder about the Vikings mentality at some point, because on one hand, I love going against teams that have bad records and just got unlucky. I think your record in close games is one of those things that regresses to the mean. No matter if you're, you know, 7-1 in close games, you're going to lose some. It's going to happen. You're getting lucky. If you're 1-7 in close games, you're getting unlucky. And the Vikings have been really unlucky in close games. Like, yeah, they can't close the door. Maybe that's – I don't think their offense coordinator, Clint Kubiak's that good. I mean, they lose Justin Jefferson for quarters at a time. It's like, guys, this is one of the 5 most talented receivers in football. Get him the ball, please. But you wonder at what point all these close losses, you just break. You're just like, we can't win. We're behind the sticks so far now that we just can't rally from this record-wise. And I do wonder if we're getting to that point with the Vikings. As we pointed out again with Charles on Sunday, the Vikings are the best bad team in football. They're much better than a record indicates. I'll probably end up being on the Chargers here, but not with the conviction I had last week. Last week, I thought they would go in, they're going to handle business against Philly. I'm going to feel comfortable the whole game. Even when the line was moving against me, I just kept grabbing more and more. You know, now it's 1.5. Now it's a pick 'em. I just kept betting them. But I came out of that game feeling pretty lucky I got the money. And I don't know that I can reinvest in the Chargers right away again.
I want to know what's going on with Mike Williams. A month ago, the story was, you should have taken Mike Williams in fantasy, not Keenan Allen. He's the lead singer in this offense. And Mike Williams has been on a milk carton for a few weeks. He was a little bit dinged up. I know he got some of Darius Slay on Sunday, but Slay didn't play the whole game. Slay was on the sidelines for a while. He was dinged up as well. I don't know what the disconnect here is. But and again, we talked about teams, you know, defending with deep shells. And I'm sure, you know, when the Patriots played them, their idea was, look, Mike Williams is not beating us. That was probably part of it. Maybe Philadelphia. I didn't get a chance to look at the game with any tape detail. But I wonder if Philadelphia, I know Slay did see some of Williams, so that's part of the explanation. But Mike Williams looked like a destructive player for the first month of the year, and yep, he has been invisible since then.
Yep. I think two catches last week, and one of them was a long one, and then nothing, basically nothing after that. It was weird.
Yeah, to me, he's the guy. If they're going to make a deep run, it's because they unlocked Mike Williams again, and I'm not sure what it's going to take. And again, you know, who knows? Maybe we find out at the end of the year, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, my shoulder's been jelly for 3 months. I mean,
yeah,
you may find
that
out.
Honestly, it just coincided so much with him getting on the injury report. I think there was a game where it was like really, truly a game time decision. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, he's been kind of just a mediocre guy. And I think it's got to be injury related.
So we'll try to pick up the pace a little bit, go to the no huddle for the rest of the games. Frank, I come here to talk to you football because I know you're dying to talk about the Bills and the Jets. The Jets almost got a cover for the ages in that Thursday night game. Josh Johnson playing out of his mind. They almost covered at Indianapolis. It took a tipped interception to put the money in the Indianapolis hands. Now they're playing a Buffalo team, surely in a pretty nasty mood after playing a horrible football game against the Jaguars. The Jets are 13-point underdogs at home. The total is 47.5. I really don't like betting games with big spreads like this. What's your lean on Buffalo, New York?
I'm going to take the Jets. They move the ball. They're not draw dead on offense. They're not the Texans. You know, they can get up and down the field, whether it's Mike White or Josh Johnson or whoever's going to be their quarterback on Sunday. So I don't know. Maybe the Bills aren't what we thought. And maybe I'm just bitter that they knocked me out of my survival pool in that ugly loss. But I'll take the Jets. I think that the Bills are kind of out of the circle of trust for me. I need to see it now again. And I do wonder if they're just in that spot of the schedule where it's like every week they're playing a terrible team. And it's hard to get up to play the Jaguars. It's hard to get up to play the Jets. I get it, especially when, you know, you got kind of your eyes on the Super Bowl prize. I think are screwing up the number one seed in the AFC or probably have screwed it up already. I don't know. I take the Jets here because I just am not impressed with the Bills lately.
And what does Buffalo really have on its resume? Its big win was the win in Kansas City. And worth of that game goes down every week.
Yep, sure does. It's not aging well. They've blown out a couple teams early on that were bad, and that's a good sign. But then, you know, they play the Dolphins as 3-3 at halftime. They play the Jaguars, and they put up 6 points and lose. Like, it's getting a little worrisome for all those future bets I have on the Bills.
That offensive line played so poorly Sunday. And again, you were just dominated by the Jaguars.
Are good up front. Like, they had an embarrassing defensive performance against the Colts, but they can get after the quarterback. So, yeah, that's not a great matchup for the Bills either.
Yeah, I mean, the Jets the last 2 weeks, they take down Cincinnati, who's at least an average, maybe a slightly above average team. I know they haven't shown good foot lately. And then they got off to a poor start against the Colts. They're getting blown out. But, I mean, Josh Johnson went up and down the field. Here's the thing, right? I know fantasy isn't a perfect application to handicapping and NFL strength, but the Jets have players you want to play, right? Michael Carter has fantasy value. Ty Johnson has put up double-digit fantasy points in 4 straight weeks, and he's not even their starting running back. We saw Elijah Moore make some splash plays. They have talent at wide receiver. And they had two backup quarterbacks put up huge numbers out of nowhere the last 2 weeks. Coincidentally, they made a shift. I don't know why they didn't do this at the beginning of the season, but they finally moved their offensive coordinator upstairs. Their offensive coordinator was actually on field level, which when you think of how – you've been on field level for football all – you can't see anything. You can't really tell what's going on. It's like watching a game in the fog. Really understand the chess of the game, you need to be at a height where you have some perspective. I don't know why they didn't do that before the season, but I believe that the Jets are going to score 20 points in this game, maybe a little bit more than that. Mm-hmm. And it's just a case of I don't trust the Buffalo offense right now, not the way I did maybe a month ago. And, you know, Josh Allen's a good player. He's struggling right now. The idea that he was ever the MVP favorite, I don't really understand it. I don't think he's really even played that great all season. The first win against Miami, he played poorly. They just happened to win the game in a blowout. It maybe looks better than it was. He still runs really, really well. You know, Sanders has had a nice season. You and I drafted Stephon Diggs in a fantasy league. It's been a major disappointment. They can't seem to get him going. Again, those two deep shells, they're getting defended a certain way. And they need to find an answer to it. And it's not going to be in their backfield. It's not going to be with their offensive line. And I don't know how many bubble screens you can throw to Cole Beasley. I don't think that's the answer either.
Nope, it sure ain't. The offense is broken and they need to figure it out.
Well, speaking of broken things, how about the Philadelphia Eagles? They go to Denver. They've finally kind of given up. They used to throw their running plays in the trash 15 minutes in. Now they're doing the exact opposite. They're just going to run the ball into the ground. They did it against Detroit 2 weeks ago, of course, in a big win. And then they ran the ball into the ground against the Chargers. They lost a competitive game, but they've really unplugged Jalen Hurts the last couple of weeks. The Broncos, who had lost their way. And I don't know anybody who felt confident with them going to Dallas. And then they just absolutely demolished the Cowboys, the darling Cowboys, the, you know, perfect against the spread Cowboys. Denver wins that game A to Z. Teddy had a great game. The defense was excellent. And Denver will tell you, look, we're not giving up. We traded Von Miller. We got a great offer for diminished talent. We still think we can maybe win this division or get into the playoff hunt. They're 2.5-point favorites at BetMGM. The total is 45. The Eagles, I can't trust, man. The Eagles frustrate me. I don't really like the way Nick Sirianni approaches things. Look, Vic Fangio is a hard guy to get on board with, too. But I feel like there's more things in Denver I can believe in. I'm going to have the Broncos here.
Yeah, and again, I don't want to fall trap to what we saw last week because that doesn't carry over in the NFL. But the Broncos look good. Like, legitimately, like, if you just dropped your, you know, somebody into the NFL season right now, and that was the first game they watched without any context at all, they'd be like, wow, the Broncos are great, and the Cowboys, what, are they going to go 3-14? Like, it was that kind of game. They, like you said, A to Z. Every single way you could beat a team, they beat the Dallas Cowboys, who I'd still trust. I shouldn't say trust. I don't trust anybody. Who I still think the Cowboys are a good team. Like, right? Like, and the Broncos demolished them. And I know the Eagles are mediocre. I know that they're just whatever. I think the Broncos are good enough right here. That -2.5 looks pretty good to me. Like, I'll take the Broncos. I feel pretty good about that. It's not a game I'm, like, looking forward to watching. But I think betting-wise, this was one of the lines that really stuck out to me where I was just like, I just think the Broncos are the better team. And maybe we saw something last week that they started to turn a corner. They have talent. There's no question about that. They got dudes. Like, I like both their running backs. I like a lot of what they do at wide receiver. Noah Fant's a good player when he comes back. Their defense does have guys. I like the Broncos, and I feel pretty confident about it.
Let's talk about common theme in this podcast is don't overreact to outlier performances. And the Cowboys just showed us their worst performance last week, losing to Denver. Now they're at home against the Falcons team that found a way to beat New Orleans. That was a surprising upset. That took out some people in elimination pools too. The Cowboys are home favorites, 9 points. The total is 54.5 at BetMGM. What was your lean on Atlanta-Dallas?
Not much of one right here. I probably will end up being, I guess, with the Cowboys. Just because I don't think their offense was exposed or anything. I think they're going to come out and beat a bad Falcons defense kind of into the ground here. I was surprised the Falcons scored as much as they did without Calvin Ridley. Matt Ryan has played pretty well. I thought early in the season, I was like, this is not looking good for Matt Ryan. He's really righted the ship, played well. I still think this Falcons offense is really, really limited without Calvin Ridley. I don't know how many points they're going to put up here. And I just think this is going to be an angry Cowboys team. I think that they know they screwed up last week. Whatever happened, if they overlooked them, they didn't, whatever it was, I think they look to get back on track. And even though -9 is not a number I usually like taking, I feel okay about it. I'll probably be on the Cowboys here.
Yeah, throw them in the teaser basket?
Yeah, that's a perfect teaser game, right? Like that or the next game we're going to talk about.
Yeah, so a lot of my fantasy teams were missing Tampa Bay Buccaneers last week. You know, Leonard Fournette's been one of the most steady fantasy backs this year. Brady's having a great season. He's probably the MVP favorite right now. Great receivers. They don't play last week. Washington football team didn't play last week. This is a rematch of actually the most competitive Buccaneers game in the playoffs last year, where Taylor Heineke gave him a scare. Washington is a 9.5-point underdog at home. The total is 51.5. We saw Tampa Bay go on a run the second half last year, and maybe it's just a convenient storyline, but I just feel like off a bye, so much more talent. I haven't liked the football team's defense. Tampa's getting 30-plus here. Now, Heineke's moved the ball pretty well in some of his games, but they've had trouble cashing in points. They moved the ball up and down the Broncos a couple weeks ago, but they couldn't get any points out of it. I just feel like Tampa's getting 30, 35, 40 points. Can WFT keep up? Hate spotting a big number on the road, but I think I'm prepared to do it.
Man, I wouldn't disagree with you. I'll probably end up picking Washington and our pick 'em pools and stuff, but no confidence either way on this game. I think it's a huge number, not one I really want to lay. I do think Washington can move the ball. Maybe Antonio Gibson finally, you know, breaks out of his slump because he's been hurt. He's got the shin injury. I think this is the make it or break it week for Antonio Gibson for fantasy owners. Like, if he comes out and has 9 carries again, like he did against Denver, like, it's time to find another option. So I think Washington could maybe get in the back door, but I'm not gonna sit here and argue too much with you on this pick because I have no confidence either way.
Man, do they need Logan Thomas back too? Okay, Jacksonville, Indianapolis, the Jaguars off their shocking. Urban Meyer's on 2 out of 3 streak right now. Can he save his job? I don't know. Colts want to believe they're a good team. We see the good Wentz one week. We see the bad Wentz a different week. He played pretty well against the Jets. They're, of course, big favorites at home, 10.5, which I think was the line the previous week against New York, 10.5 over the Jaguars. The total's 47.5. Again, these are hard games for me with the big spreads, with a good team and a bad team. What's your lean, Jacksonville, Indy?
I guess the Colts, but I don't know. A lot depends on James Robinson's back, and I think he will be. Like, it didn't sound like a multi-week injury there. Their offense without him was just terrible. Like, I don't think that they're really good enough to use the guys they have. They're definitely not good enough to lose a guy like James Robinson to figure things out. So I know the Jaguars won. Good for you. Great. But at the end of the day, they're still not a very good football team. And I'll lean towards the Colts, but not with any confidence.
Yeah. I mean, the last time Jonathan Taylor saw these guys, he ran for like 250 or something like that, some crazy number of yards. And even though they don't want to give him 20 carries in any game for some reason, it sure seems like he's going to win the rushing title. So I always want to see more of Taylor, but maybe we'll jump in on a Taylor prop, although I'm sure they probably come in pretty high. When that opens up, give me a shout. Maybe we'll share it on Twitter.
That might be. I'd have to assume it's close to 90, right? It almost has to be.
And you know what? I think I'd be going over it. I did not miss the Detroit Lions on their bye week. I don't know about you.
Nope.
They're back now playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. Man, were they lucky to beat Chicago. Not only were there a lot of terrible towels at that game, there were a lot of yellow flags. I guess the thing with the Steelers fans is they can throw their terrible towel on the field when needed, and it's a flag on the opposing team. But how many times have the Steelers played down to their level of competition? They're 9.5-point favorites over the Lions. Total is very low, 43.5. When Pittsburgh plays a team they're supposed to crush, I just always assume they're not going to. That's not very intricate, but I got to lean Detroit here.
Yep, same thing you said. They do play down to the competition during the Tomlin era. They just have. Like, I love Mike Tomlin as a coach. I think he's really, really good, and he's got a Hall of Fame resume. He really does. But they do lay eggs against bad teams, and the Lions, look, I get their last game was ugly. Maybe they just need this bye week to regroup because they have been competitive most games. And again, I keep saying this every time we talk about the Steelers. Their offense is not good enough to lay a big number. It's just not. Ben just still is not throwing the ball down. Whatever, I think Deontay ended up catching it, but there was like a 50-yard, or I think it ended up being a 40-some-yard pass play. And Roethlisberger needed everything he could get on it to get it 45 yards downfield. And Deontay had to come back for it. Like, the DBs just weren't ready for it to be that underthrown. And he comes back and catches it. There's probably your biggest pass play of the day. And it's just, that's their offense. Like, they're not going to score enough to just blast a lot of people. I know the Lions have their issues too, but I think 9.5 is way too much, even for a really, really bad Lions team. Because I think the Steelers are going to end up winning a lot of 4 and 5 point games this year.
That's right. You described it. It was hard to watch. I mean, it looked like Roethlisberger was like a punter or something who was asked to throw a deep pass and was trying to muster every amount of oomph he had. Yeah. He just looks like a guy who's on his last legs. So I'll be on Detroit. Time for conviction, Frank. Too long, you didn't listen. What are the games that we're pounding the table for in week 10?
As weird as it sounds, the Broncos -2.5 is the game that really, really just jumped out at me. I do like the Browns. I'll be on them probably money line. I'm just going to wait to see the Chubb situation because I do want to see him play. If Simeon starts for the Saints, I'll be on the Titans and feel pretty good about it. I just don't think Simeon's that dude. And Packers. Packers is a game where I just feel like we're kind of overrating Russell Wilson's return a little bit, and he could end up being a little bit rusty.
Yeah, I always hate it when my conviction plays are favorites because I'm an underdog guy. But we're gonna go heads up on the New England-Cleveland game. I'm still not giving up on the Chargers. And I think Green Bay's just become a team with a lot of swagger, a lot of nerve. I think they know they should have won last week. They had the nerve to go in and beat Arizona and Seattle. Russell Wilson's a Band-Aid, but there's a huge wound on the Seahawks that Russell Wilson can't cover up. We know Geno Smith couldn't cover it. So I'll be riding with you on Green Bay. I also like the Titans if we can get confirmation of Simeon starting. I think Sean Payton's making a mistake there. He's a heck of a coach, but I think eventually they're going to go back to Taysom Hill probably in the middle of this game and for full-time purposes, probably next week. Stash Taysom Hill in your fantasy league.
By the way, it ends up being a pretty good, like, we're going to have to look at Trevor Siemian props too, because if he does end up starting,
go under.
Can take the under on his passing yards, because I totally agree with your theory that this could be the game where Sean Payton's just at halftime saying, all right, Taysom, we need a spark. Let's go.
And if you're looking for more betting advice from people like Frank Schwab across all sports, NCAA basketball tipping off today. By the way, I think you're wrong that UCLA is overrated. I actually like their recruiting class, and I believe and what Johnny Jacquez became the second half of that season. I know they were lucky. Look, their first four team goes to the Final Four. That's just, you know, a very fluky thing. But
they could have glossed that first four game in overtime, but we would not be talking about the UCLA Bruins right now. That's my only angle on them.
Man, they brought so much back, though. And they have a legitimate star. So I'm a believer in this UCLA team. We'll go ahead.
Play Villanova on Friday, and that's going to be a heck of a basketball game.
They have Gonzaga in November, too. I'm not guaranteeing they're going to be great in November. I mean, Gonzaga might run them off the floor for all we know. That Gonzaga team is loaded again. But really, you want more betting advice? NCAA basketball, football, all sports, you know, water polo, hockey. If it's a sport you can bet on, Frank Schwab, the Yahoo Sportsbook Daily Podcast, going to give you good intel. Please subscribe to that and check that out on your podcast platform of choice. We'd love if you'd subscribe to this show, the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast. You can get social with us on Twitter. Frank is at Yahoo Schwab. I'm at Scott_Pianowski. And of course, all your fantasy news, notes, GIFs, all that stuff, GIFs, however you say that, Yahoo Fantasy. Matt Dalton, they're back tomorrow. It's a Stat Nerd Thursday. They'll give you everything you need to know about the Thursday game between Baltimore and Miami. Until then, for Frank, for producer Brett, I'm Scott. Great cash, homie. We are out.